when I started this deck, I was like, I want to be the Beyonce of tarot. This woman never stops working. She hasn't stopped working since she was a part of Destiny's Child. She's known for the quality of what she produces as well as her work ethic. That's what I feel like I want to create in the tarot world. My name is Courtney Alexander, and I'm an artist, writer, and entrepreneur. I'm the creator of Dust to Onyx and Melanated Tarot.
This is Vanguard by Shopify. It's a podcast about how people from unexplored subcultures and unexpected communities make money today. I'm your host, Anshuman Idemseti. On our very first episode of Vanguard, a question. Who do you become when you succeed? And I mean, like, truly succeed. What does success ask of you? Courtney Alexander painted, designed, marketed, and distributed Dust to Onyx, her tarot deck, all by herself. Let that sink in. And thanks to her efforts, Dust to Onyx is an unprecedented success. But at what cost? In pursuing success, what happens when you have to face down the unknown over and over and over again? To find out, we follow Courtney's journey from a self-described young fat black girl entering art school to a very savvy, very tactical business owner. You know, the Beyonce of tarot. But before we get there, we need to take a step back and talk about tarot. Tarot is a widely known practice, but there are a lot of misconceptions around what it is and isn't.
To me, it's not just a fortune-telling tool. It's more of a tool of guidance, and you can use it for spiritual purposes, but also, you know, you stimulate your creativity and anything else you may need guidance on, whether spiritual, emotional, or mental.
And I'll admit, I've had my tarot read a few times, and I still don't fully get it. So I asked Courtney for a primer.
A typical tarot deck contains 78 cards.
And those cards are split into two groups. The first group is made up of 56 cards that look more like the traditional playing cards you're probably familiar with. They're called the Minor Arcana. Picture your average deck of cards, but with entirely different suits.
You have the Swords, Cups, Wands, and Pentacles. Within each of those suits, you have 10 cards plus the four court cards, which is the Page, Knight, King, and Queen.
The second group is called the Major Arcana. Those are the 22 cards we more commonly associate with tarot. Cards like Death, the High Priestess, and the Lovers.
The Major Arcana is like its own suit, essentially, and it tells the story, the journey of the Fool. It's more relevant for like higher spiritual lessons that one learns as they go through life. When I was growing up, I really idolized Oprah because as a young, fat black girl, Oprah was not only like making her coins, but she was, you know, doing so many amazing things in media, and she looked like me. She made me believe that I could be so much more in life.
If you asked Courtney to talk about her role models, Oprah comes up a lot. I mean, it's Oprah. She's had a profound effect on everyone. But the way Courtney describes it, Oprah was less of a role model and more of a kindred spirit. They both had an eye for invention, for opportunity.
I wrote short stories. I drew all the time. I played musical instruments. I used to love to come up with these little inventions in my head and like write them down. I used to want to be a fashion designer. I'd get up like 5 o'clock in the morning and watch the Style Channel in the runway and see all these amazing, weird, crazy, you know, outfits on the runway and people who were really pushing the boundaries and like walking pieces of sculpture sometimes.
But this doesn't explain how Courtney found success in the world of tarot. In fact, when she was growing up, the practice was the last thing on Courtney's mind. She was actually terrified of tarot.
My first encounter with tarot was through a Christian lens.
As a kid, Courtney attended a megachurch led by a minister who instilled a deep fear of the occult in her. According to this minister's sermons, dabbling in things like tarot had grave consequences, like the occasional exorcism.
That scared the hell out of me. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, you can't play with everything, you can't touch everything, you know, everything's possessed. That's what tarot and divination meant to me growing up, and I carried that for a long time.
As time passed, so did Courtney's fear of tarot. But her curiosity, that never left. And so Courtney started dabbling in a low-stakes version of tarot. Let's call it Tarot Lite.
I started out with tarot apps, and there was something about, you know, it being in electronic form that kind of demystified it for me and made it feel safer to use. And so I just began using tarot apps for daily guidance whenever I had questions.
As Courtney got more involved with tarot, she began to notice something.
There were not very many decks that featured people of color, and that was when I realized that there was a huge gap in the market.
To be clear, there were decks that alluded to black influences, black art, sure, but nothing Courtney could specifically relate to.
It would be like maybe a cultural deck that was based on Egyptian history, and there's an African-American tarot which references a lot of events and people throughout African American history, but it felt very like anthropological. It felt very studied. They were beautiful, but I still didn't feel like a spiritual connection. Now, I had no idea it would become what it is now, but the idea set in that like I needed to create something that I could truly connect to. And if it became something valuable to others, then that was like a plus.
While Courtney daydreamed about the perfect tarot deck, she was doing freelance graphic design, all self-taught. It wasn't what she imagined she'd be doing as an adult, but it was lucrative enough to reassure her parents, a delicate balancing act. Now, if you're a person of color, this might feel a little familiar.
They just want to see us have a sense of security, so when we have creative talents, we're not taught like that we can just explore freely. Is the first thing you try to do is try to find a way for your child to parlay that into a career or money making.
But Courtney wanted to do more than graphic design, so she moved to Tampa, Florida to pursue an entirely different career at the University of South Florida, or USF.
My initial thought was like, okay, I'm going to move to Tampa and go to USF and get my advertising degree and go through the agency track. And, you know, I had it all planned out in my head. And then I started taking some art classes because I just wanted to be a better designer. And so I was just like laying the foundations for that. And as I went through those basic courses, I fell in love with painting and drawing again. I hadn't did it since I was a kid.
And so Courtney switched from advertising to fine arts.
I understood the value in advertising and teaching me how to move through that industry, but I just viewed it as I want to be a better creator overall. And so I just went into the fine art program with that mindset. I realized that I am an artist and this is the life that I want to live as a creator and a storyteller, and using whatever I have at my disposal to share my thoughts with people through my work.
I can't stress how pivotal a moment this was for Courtney. When she was younger, the world of contemporary art seemed distant and opaque. But at USF, she started learning about artists outside of the European canon of art history, and everything snapped into focus.
I hadn't had the exposure to enough contemporary art to really understand the other ways that I could create and express myself. And so a lot of my classes required that we look at other artists. And, you know, I stumbled on artists like Wangechi Mutu, who is one of my absolute favorite artists.
Wangechi Mutu is a Kenyan-born artist whose work blends together collage and painting to make mixed media pieces that explore race, colonialism, and feminism. For the very first time, Courtney saw herself in the work of others.
Just seeing creators of color really pushing boundaries that opened up my world and helped me understand all the ways my creativity could work too in regards to like touching and connecting with people.
So she began to explore her own artistic practice. And like Wangechi Mutu, Courtney's pieces took on a political bent.
My favorite one was like my first art project. It was a fat wall called More Cushion for the Pushin'. It was a wall that I created. I had like a mattress. I was using like big water balloons and polyfill. And once I put it together, I used like a swimsuit lining to create the skin. And the polyfill would poke through like body hair. And it literally was like a wall of flesh, of fat flesh. It was two of them, so people could walk through them. And so that piece was addressing how we view fat bodies and intimacy, and how we often don't see fat bodies represented in that way in the media. We don't see people being intimate with fat people in caring and sensual ways oftentimes. It also helped me realize the inherent political nature of my own identity.
In December of 2015, Courtney graduated from USF and came face to face with the unknown, life after graduation.
I was just like trying to get my bearings and like many of us adjusting to full-on adult life, getting a job again. And I was like feeling settled. I was, you know, going through my exploration with tarot just from a personal level.
But as Courtney was settling into a familiar routine, she began having trouble sleeping.
I had woke up from my sleep one night having a panic attack. I've struggled with anxiety over the years, and so it was one of those nights where I couldn't get back to sleep and I began to go into a state of panic. It was so intense, I literally woke out of my sleep screaming. I was just all types of messed up. So as soon as I go into work, they call me in the office and they essentially fired me. You know, there was no really set reason, and I was taken off guard by it. The next day, I packed up my clothes and I just went home because I was like a girl who needed her mommy. I was so paranoid. I literally thought I was like going crazy. I thought I was losing my mind.
Courtney thought a week home would do her some good. She said it herself. She struggled with anxiety for years. Why would this episode be any different? But with each passing day, the dreams got more vivid. They were unlike anything Courtney had experienced before.
I dreamt of these black paintings. And so these black on black paintings in my dreams were like very beautiful, with all of these rich, beautiful accent colors weaved in between.
And she felt an unusual pull towards these black on black paintings. If she squinted, just so, they almost looked like tarot cards.
Once I had the dream about those paintings and went through that experience, I came home and the first card that I started working on was the death card. And if you see the death card in comparison to all the other cards, there's a certain quiet, there's a certain stillness about the death card.
And that's when she got a message from an old friend from USF.
A friend of mine, Princess Smith, had this event. It was like all black women artists. And it was a way to get support and exposure. So I was one of the artists that she invited to be a part of it.
Courtney decided to make a part of a tarot deck for the show, the Major Arcana, with each card an oversized painting recreating the images of her dreams.
Before, I was just doing these contour drawings and doodles and stuff. Like, it was going to be like a little doodle deck. It was not going to be what it is now. And so I was just like, okay, I'm going to take this deck now seriously as an art series. You know, I have this opportunity to. I have this show. I have the motivation to do it.
As you can imagine, recreating what she saw in her dreams was a huge undertaking. But Courtney was determined to bring those images to life, to make her oversized tarot cards just as lavish and visceral.
I put the kitchen sink in these paintings. I used clippings, gold paint, gold foil paint, sand, glitter, puffy paint. It was just a very intuitive process of building all of these layers, and looking back, like, it's so appropriate for what this deck is to me and what it means. My goal for creating this deck wasn't to just create a deck that had Black people in it. I wanted a deck that represented the beauty of the Black diaspora because, you know, I'm Black American. And so there are so many layers in regards to my history as a Black American person, and then the disconnect because of the transatlantic slave trade and this disconnect from traditional African culture and what you feel like you miss out on. And I wanted to find a way to include all of those layers of my identity that were known to me and unknown to me.
To Courtney, the imagery behind her paintings became a powerful rebuke of her megachurch upbringing.
Especially growing up Christian, everything that you're taught is right, is white. But, you know, once I began exploring Black as a color story, like, it doesn't make sense because this universe was created from dark matter. I found beauty in Blackness through exploring this series, and not just as a Black woman, as a race and culture, there's beauty, but also in Black as a color.
Courtney needed to finish the Major Arcana, all 22 paintings worth, in time for the show. And she only had a few weeks left. The way she describes this period, Courtney entered a kind of productive mania.
Usually I could paint 1.5 to 2 paintings a day. And I was literally like just painting day in and day out. You know, I stopped long enough to maybe apply for some jobs because I still was jobless. Other than that, I just used the opportunity to do as much as I could. By the time the show was there, I did complete all of them. So actually I did all 22 paintings within like 2 to 2.5 weeks time.
The tarot card paintings were stunning. Are stunning, and Courtney was floored by the responses.
When I first presented the paintings at the show, people were just amazed. They felt like they had never seen themselves represented in such a way, and they were really intrigued by the power and the energy that they felt from the paintings. People seeing themselves, seeing their ancestors, seeing, you know, parts of themselves from different times in their life. After I premiered the first set of paintings and saw what the response was, that was the moment that I realized this needs to be a real thing.
But creating an actual tarot deck, one that could compete in the contemporary tarot market, was another unknown. In many ways, Courtney had to become a student all over again.
I knew that crowdfunding would be the best track for me to go down instead of like trying to reach out to publishing companies and go through that. I just did some research on different platforms like Kickstarter, Indiegogo, and, you know, reading the pros and cons of how they structure their crowdfunding platform. There's just something about the hustle, that FOMO, that fear of missing out. And getting people on board to see this vision come to life is almost like a game type of thing. And it really pushes and challenges you. And so that's why I went with Kickstarter, because I wanted the challenge of the deadline.
Courtney's Kickstarter campaign launched on September 12th, 2016. She had 35 days to raise $25,000. Again, this was an entirely new challenge, a new unknown. Not only did Courtney have to design 78 cards, both the minor and major arcana, she needed people to buy into the very idea of Dusta Onyx, and that meant she needed a brand. So Courtney applied the marketing savvy of her freelancing days to do just that.
I had created my own press releases, sent out images of what I already had, like I created Photoshop mockups using the images from the paintings. I had already begun like filling my Instagram.
If Courtney was an artist and student before, she was now a laser-focused tactician, planning out every detail of a crowdfunding campaign, and all while holding down a new job at a call center. No big deal.
Let me tell you, it was, oh my gosh, it was so much work. Honestly, it kind of makes me want to cry, and I'm actually getting emotional thinking about it. It was work that I didn't even think I was capable of doing, you know, but I wanted it. I felt like I had finally grasped onto something. I wanted to make it happen so bad. And I would go to work. I would be in training. I would be on my phone managing everything. I would be sending emails and doing what I could on my break, getting stuff prepared during the evening. My coworkers at the time would just be like, oh my gosh, Courtney, like you never put your phone down. But I was like in hustle mode with this campaign.
At the same time, Courtney was trying her best to work through her personal demons, her anxiety.
I was using tarot cards to, like, I was doing healing and shadow work. I was asking myself the hard questions, like, what is holding me back? What am I most scared of?
The deadline for her campaign was approaching fast. Courtney had reached 65% of her $25,000 funding goal, but getting there took up most of her campaign's runway. She only had 4 days left to go.
I was really wondering if I was gonna make my goal.
And that's when another kindred spirit caught wind of the campaign.
I really believed in her vision. I really wanted to support this amazingly talented Black artist. I wanted to feature her work.
I had sent a press release out to Hoodwitch, which is one of the, you know, larger spiritual platforms.
My name is Bree Luna. I am the owner and the creative director of thehoodwitch.com. I heard of Courtney through Instagram, and she was following me. She even actually reached out to us about helping her with her Kickstarter, and I checked out her artwork, and I was just blown away. I thought it was beautiful. And then when I found out that she was a Black woman, a woman of color who was creating this tarot deck, I was just like, what is this? I need to get my hands on it. I don't know where it is or how I'm going to get this, but I need to have it.
And Hoodwitch decided to do a feature on Courtney and Desta Onyx.
Tarot historically has been very whitewashed. There's no representation of Black artists, especially in this realm. So it was very important for me, especially as a woman of color, to support her taking this vision and making it into something that was very real.
With that article being written, like, everything just, like, popped off real quick. Next thing you know, I exceeded my funding goal. My original goal was 25 grand. It ended at almost 30 grand.
As is often the case with the internet, people kept discovering the Hoodwitch article well after the Kickstarter was officially over.
People were like, oh my gosh, I just found you and the campaign's over, and they were freaking out. So I had to, like, continue to take pre-orders. And so I raised, like, about another 30 grand through the extended pre-order process. And so that really helped me a lot, because that allowed me to really make this deck way more than people thought it would be.
And so Courtney found herself sitting on double the amount of her original funding goal, and all for a Kickstarter she came up with just a few months ago. She wasn't going to squander the opportunity.
I realized that, first of all, like, I wanted my work to be showcased in the best way possible. I didn't want to do all of this work and then have, like, cheap cards. I designed them to have 4 layers of printing. So the artwork's printed, then a layer of velvet matte lamination. So it feels very, very soft and velvety. And then there's a layer of gold foil and a layer of spot gloss. So when you pick up the cards, there's certain parts of the cards that, you know, pick up light and has, like, a little shine to it. So it made, like, the jewels in certain parts of the paintings that I chose, you know, sparkle. As a designer, I became the client that I've always wanted to have. So I was like, you know, I have the opportunity to do package design and really, like, create an entire product, something I've never been able to do before. I made the borders very slim and streamlined, and the gold foil works so perfectly because as you lay the cards down, the reflection kind of makes the text disappear. So it's just the artwork. Visually, that really helps readers connect cards when they lay the cards out.
This was what Courtney wanted, but what about her customers?
I also studied what people's issues were with tarot cards. For example, large borders. Like, people were buying cards and cutting the borders off, and I was like, that cannot happen. And I don't want people to feel like they have to cut the deck. When I imagined the person who would hold this product in their hand, I imagined them walking through this, like, really dark, mysterious, magical place and stumbling on it, you know, pulling it out the dirt. Actually, the background behind the holographic foil is like a asphalt, like a dark galaxy asphalt. There's no like barcode numbers, no branding stuff. I wanted it to be a piece of artwork from beginning to end.
It took Courtney roughly 8 months to design the entire deck of cards. To be clear, that means she made 78 paintings for all 78 cards. Yeah.
And so I spent months after the campaign, even just like pushing myself through this work, dealing with working every day and the frustrations that came with that, because call centers ain't fun. And dealing with my own self-doubts, fears, and depressions and anxiety around this project.
And then she had to figure out how to translate those paintings into card-sized images, which required learning an entirely new skill set.
I learned and researched how to properly take photos of artwork, because it definitely is not like a point and shoot thing as far as catching, you know, the proper colors and everything. So I set up a little photo booth and I took photos of all of the artwork to go on the cards.
All of this effort did not go unnoticed.
People are writing me like, girl, like I could barely pay my rent, but I wanted to support you. So I have not just anybody's money. I have the money of people out there that's working hard who barely have anything themselves, but they saw something in me that said, hey, I need to invest in this person's dream. And I didn't take that lightly. And if anything, the pressure was even more intense because of it.
Courtney finished the product design for Dusta Onyx in September 2017. By December, she was finally shipping them out to her fans and supporters.
Almost 1,000 decks I had shipped out over a Christmas holiday.
And here's a fraction of what they had to say.
This deck is incredible. Every reading has red to my marrow and right back up to my dark, dark melanin.
I don't have the words to express how transformative this deck is. It's life-changing. Just opening up the box was a healing experience.
Sometimes it's like looking into my grandmother or great aunt's eyes when I pull certain cards. This is truly from the ancestors.
I bonded with this deck immediately, and I foresee it as one that will facilitate a lot of ancestral healing, decolonization, and work. I'm so glad that more decks are being created by and for people of color. This is true.
Dusta Onyx is a balm to this reader's soul. May the author of this deck be forever blessed.
The release of Dusta Onyx has catapulted Courtney into an entirely new world, complete with its own set of challenges.
I went from being a graduate in fine arts to having to publish and run this whole thing and set up things I don't have experience in. I don't have a mentor or a consultant or anyone helping me. Like, I'm literally just researching and figuring things out along the way.
But Courtney is the first to admit that despite how she got here, her feelings about success are complicated. That's real. Success is complicated. And it speaks to a reality of running a small business we seem reluctant to talk about. The psychological toll of success. What it asks of you, day in and day out.
Before this interview yesterday, I was like sitting by the water and I sat there for like 3 hours and I just literally cried for 3 hours because I am emotionally exhausted from it all. And the success is beautiful and it makes me feel bad because I feel like I'm supposed to be happy and I'm supposed to be just like, yeah, you know, life is grand. And that's how I see other entrepreneurs look when they're achieving things. But sometimes on the other side of success is not always comfortable either. It requires so much transformation that is exhausting.
Adjusting to this new life has forced Courtney to reevaluate some fundamental ideas about herself, about who she thought she was.
I saw myself as someone who could, no matter how brilliant my parents told me I was, or me being the smart kid in family or whatever I accomplished, I would never make it as far as I could in life because there were key parts of me that was missing and things that I didn't do well enough. And I would always be the person that could just barely get there.
There's a phrase that every small business owner comes across. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It's arguably the de facto myth of the modern day entrepreneur. But the phrase doesn't apply to everyone equally, and the people who use it the most are often of a particular background or privilege. After all, if you're a person of color, say a young, black, fat woman, you don't always have the luxury to fail. And this is why it's important to talk openly about the high cost of success. because it isn't the same for everyone.
It just kind of astounds me looking back to that it was only 35 days and all of this happened within that time and I met my goal. And, you know, that was a big milestone. And throughout the process of creating the deck, even though I had made this goal, it still didn't settle. It still didn't feel like I was done. I still was afraid that, like, I wouldn't complete the paintings, you know? And I had, like, over 30 grand in my account when I had nothing just a month before. This shit isn't easy. And it requires way more than just pulling yourself up by the bootstraps sometimes, like, especially when some of us don't even have the straps. It's not possible for me to necessarily create a 100%, you know, anti-capitalistic business, like in a world of capitalism. And so I have to find ways to understand the world that I'm moving through and what it requires. At any point when I have the opportunity to use the rules to my advantage to help underprivileged people, I do that. There are some people who have the money to contribute. And so I was getting emails from people who wanted to sponsor decks. And so I created a deck sponsorship where during the checkout process, people could donate in $5 increments to help someone get a deck. And so then people also submitted nominations and you had to be a non-male person of color.
Now, Courtney's been busy with a brand new business venture. It's called Black and Sage, a publishing company designed to give a platform for marginalized voices. It's Courtney's attempt to level the playing field for other artists of color.
They don't have to come to the table with the funds. They don't need to be rich. They don't have to have the right connections and resources. The right ideas and the talent is what they bring to the table. And then Black and Sage would provide the resources and the right people to help bring their projects to life, essentially.
And that doesn't mean she's done with Dust to Onyx. In 2018, Courtney ran another crowdfunding campaign for the second edition of her deck, raising over $50,000. As expected, she's already thinking about the bigger picture.
As far as my perception of it in this capitalist world, not making it my goal to make as much money as possible. Yes, I want to make money for my business to be successful and people to have a comfortable life, but it's not about becoming like the richest publishing company in the world. And so I'm just going to make every dime I can, no matter what the consequences are for other people. No, I always strive to do the most I can without hurting and taking advantage and exploiting others.
In less than 2 years, Courtney went from being unemployed to starting a highly lucrative business. And she's now laying the foundation for a second one. She's even starting to hire people, including her own marketing manager. But Courtney has had to do so much to get to where she is now. Success hasn't made anything easier. So I had to ask, at this very moment, who are you now?
That's the part I'm figuring out. My friend told me recently that I'm a butterfly who still thinks she's a caterpillar. And that's where I am, and it's the truth. I am, like, in this transition where I'm still Afro-eclectic hippie, you know, still out there creating and gardening and being out in nature and being all of those things and loving those things, but also being challenged with this idea of me being a mogul and what that means for me. Like, what I'm striving to do is what people would call someone. Like, you would call someone who's trying to build these big things, you'll call them a mogul. But I'm right now very challenged by that identity, you know, accepting it, or whether that is the right identity, or maybe I need to create a new name, you know, for who I want to be. So right now I'm in limbo.
Courtney Alexander is the founder of Dust to Onyx, a melanated tarot. Special thanks to our voice actors, Tony Akinumi, Nanu Adupoku, and Shav Hasfel McIntosh. This episode was produced by Michelle McCallum, Rachel Rath, and me, Anshuman Idemseti. Our score was composed by Jim Guthrie. Oh, and if you enjoyed our very first episode of Vanguard by Shopify, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks. And here's a special sneak peek of our next episode.
We found our people, but they're cartoonists in Japan. They're not designers. They're not style icons. They're people who spend all day in their small apartments drawing.